Stuff Just Read It podcast.
Marcus Smart is so good.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit podcast. Ben Vallis here. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're doing well. Some classic off-season content for you today in the form of our annual Celtics Trivia Bonanza. This time a conference-based battle, the winners of which will face off in the finals. Today, our Southern Conference featuring perhaps the most important Australia versus New Zealand matchup of our time, maybe ever. Let's firstly welcome our contestants from Newcastle, Australia, Jackson, aka Rickman Lives. Jackson, how's it going?
Yeah, really good, man. You said there were no stakes and I was all relaxed. Now it's the giant trans-Tasman battle that I now have to psych myself up for. So,
oh, that was before recording, man. Now we're getting serious.
Yeah, true.
Hey, good of you Australians to show up to this particular one. I mean, we have to go to all the other finals without you these days.
We've heard from him already, our New Zealand correspondent, Joe, a.k.a. Nurse Groats McFly. Joe, how's things, man? How's life on the farm?
Yeah, nah, she's good, mate. She's good. We're definitely get a little bit more tired than normal, but the earliest starts. But no, I've enjoyed it, man. Nice little change of pace, eh?
Yeah.
Nice little change of pace.
Great use of the off season. Good to hear it.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, before we get into it, there really are no rules, but there are some vague guidelines very quickly. So it's 1 point per correct answer. The person, obviously, with the most points wins. 5 rounds, roughly 4 to 5 questions per round. The 5th round, though, is the Phil Pressey speed round. 10 questions, all worth 2 points each. So anyone can take the game late in the fourth quarter there, if you will. Some questions will be multiple choice. Some questions will not be multiple choice at first, but I'll offer some choices if both of you are struggling to answer. There will be bonus questions that appear sporadically. They're harder and worth 2 points and are not multiple choice. And just buzz in when you think you know the answer. If you're wrong, the other person will get a chance to answer and we'll go back and forth from there. Jackson, can we test out that buzzer of yours, please?
All right, coming right up. It is...
Looks like all of Australia.
Great. And Joe?
This is ridiculous.
All right, awesome. Thanks to Big 3v3, Burner for Celtics, Burner for Design, Spin Axel, and Can't Handle the Truth 34, and President Brad Stevens for their trivia question ideas and suggestions. We went to the people of Celtics Reddit. We asked Joe and Jackson to not check that very thread where those ideas were submitted. Which, so we're very thankful for that.
Hand on heart, I've not done. I've definitely stayed clear.
I would sooner,
of course.
I would sooner die than cheat on an amateur podcast. No chance.
I figured you guys were good for it.
We're coming to this quiz with clear eyes and full hearts. So
I got to give a big thanks to you/Big3v3 in particular, who reached out after the last trivia show and was like, let me know when you guys are doing this. I've got some content. And they delivered. So a lot of these in particular are from that user. All right. We're going to start with round one, the general trivia round. Question number one. Let's get into it. How many 5-foot square panels composed the parquet floor of the Boston Garden? Is it 200, 256, 264, or 284?
It looks like all of Australia.
Jackson.
256 is my guess.
Incorrect.
Well, I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of doing maths. I'm figuring they're 3x3 sort of squares, and it's 94 feet. So 94 into 3 is like 28.
I'll be dead impressed if you get this way.
Yeah, I'm loving
this. So it'll be 28 by something. So what were the options? What are the options?
200, 256, 264, and 284.
It's not 256, by the way.
Correct.
We need to do a wee calculator. What are those options divides into 28?
All right, there's a shot clock here.
Okay, I'm going to go 296, whatever.
296 was not an option, so that is incorrect. Jackson, we'll go back to you. 200, 256, 264, or 284?
284.
No. So we'll go back to you, Jared. This is great radio.
I can't keep all the options in my head. I'm too focused on trying to calculate.
200, 256, 264. 284, and we've ruled out 256 already. So 200, 264, or 284?
I'm going to go 264.
Correct. Hooray! There we go. Mathematical genius. Joe had it all figured out.
I'm just trying to justify it back. So if my maths are correct, I'm assuming 3-foot squares, right? So it'd be not 28 by, and you'd be missing like not 10 the other way, 28 by 10, 28 by 9.
My brain is not working that way. I'm wrong, but whatever.
You know,
maybe it doesn't include like area beyond the playing area, like the rest of the court. Yeah, maybe that's the case.
It's a good opener for the general round that is like, how does the floor work in TD Garden? Number two. It's somewhat common knowledge that the Celtics' first ever opponent was the Providence Steamrollers, but against whom was the Celtics' first ever victory? Was it the Toronto Huskies, the Pittsburgh Ironmen, the Philadelphia Warriors, or the Washington Capitals?
This is ridiculous.
Joe.
Well, only two of those teams, I'm sure, were real at the time, which is the Nationals and the
Capitals.
And the Huskies. No, Capitals.
Washington Capitals.
Washington Capitals? I don't think they were a real thing. They're a hockey team. Can you go through those options again, please?
Yeah, sure.
Not the Huskies. Just say it again.
Okay, the Toronto Huskies, the Pittsburgh Ironmen, the Philadelphia Warriors, or the
Philadelphia Warriors.
Incorrect, I'm afraid. Jackson, over to you.
Huskies.
It was the Huskies. It was the Toronto Huskies. Ding, 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 ding. Bonus question. This is worth 2 points, by the way. What seed did the Celtics finish with in the inaugural 1946-47 season?
Holy smokes, these are hard.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that. If no one gets this, we'll just move on, by the way.
There were only six teams.
Yeah.
So
there were six teams in the Eastern Conference. So out of those six spots, where did the Celtics
finish?
I'm going
to say they sucked and they finished sixth.
I'm going to say second seed.
You're both wrong. So no points awarded there. It was the fifth seed, by the way. Question three. The Celtics had two first-round picks in the 2014 draft and drafted Marcus Smart with the 6th overall pick. Who did the Celtics select with the 17th overall pick?
This is ridiculous.
James Young.
Correct. Yes. Did not even have to go through the multiple choices there.
Yeah.
The other options for those who are curious was Jordan Mickey, Terry Rozier, and Jared Sullinger, who were all, I think, drafted in different years. But there you go. Okay. Question number four.
Jordan Mickey was a second-round pick anyway.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Good knowledge of 2014. Number four, what player was inbounding the ball in the 1965 playoff game against Philadelphia that resulted in Johnny Most's famous call of Havlicek stole the ball? The options are Paul Newman, Hal Greer, David Gamby, and Wilt Chamberlain.
He looks like all of us.
Jackson.
Give me some of that Hal Greer action.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It was not. Honestly, I would not have known that. That was one of the ones submitted by Celtics Reddit out there. So,
it's amazing. A good one.
It is, yeah. I think I've seen that clip before, and I think I remembered it. Well, I must have seen
All
that
right.
clip before. But anyway.
Shot, Jackson.
That's great. So, coming out of round one, we're tied at two apiece. So, neck and neck here. We're going to go into round two. Current roster trivia. This is a Who Am I? I'll add in some, like, background Who Am I music here. Who am I? Born on July 15, 1995 in Lantana, Texas. Lantana probably is the American pronunciation. I attended Liberty Christian School in Argyle, Texas.
This is ridiculous. Go.
There would be Semi-Jesus.
Incorrect. Incorrect.
I'm going to go to Liberty.
Maybe
no,
multiple Celtics
went to SMU and Duke. I'm an idiot.
It's been a hard day's work on the farm, but it's okay. It's early. It's early in the show. There's still plenty of time. And you're both still tired. Anyone can still jump in here. I'm going to keep going.
I know who it is now.
I am said to have the most, quote, most naturally athletic golf swing in Liberty Christian history. In my college days, I played at Vanderbilt University where I averaged 8.9 points. 4.8 Jackson.
Naismith?
No, it isn't, but he did go to Vanderbilt. Yeah. So,
this is ridiculous.
Joe.
I think we're going to be going the green corner.
Oh, absolutely correct. That's another one for Joe. Joe's now up 3-2. So just to rattle off a few of the more interesting points there on Luke Kornet. So on the 12th of January 2016, he blocked a school record 10 shots and finished with the second triple-double in Vanderbilt history with 11 points and 11 rebounds. He was undrafted in 2017, and he joined the New York Knicks for the 2017 NBA Summer League and later on signed with the Knicks on a two-way contract, and he was only the second Knicks rookie to debut with a double-double. Amazing. Also holds the NCAA record for three-pointers made by a seven-footer with 150.
Damn.
And is the Vanderbilt Commodores' all-time leading shot blocker with 210. I figured once we got to the big man three-point shooting numbers, you'd be all jumping on the Kornet number there, but There you go.
The golf swing is the most impressive. Let's be real, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Number two, Carson Edwards has two listed nicknames on Basketball Reference. One of them is C Boogie. The other one is the full name of which former Celtics player? Is it Eddie House, Glenn Davis, Ricky Davis, or Bob Cousy?
This is ridiculous.
It's got to be Eddie House.
It is Eddie House. Okay. Joe's on a run here, up 4-2. Number three, who were the first pair of Celtics teammates to both make 6-plus three-pointers in the same game? This is current roster, so keep that in mind with your answer.
Looks like all of us.
Jackson.
Tatum and Brown.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Think so deeper in the roster.
Making 6-plus threes in
this
a
is
game
this season.
Together. This season.
Yep. Very, very current roster. Like, literally the current roster.
Well, I'm trying to think. I reckon Pritchard had a few games where he made a few threes. I can't remember Neesmith ever making six. Pritchard shot him at a good clip, though. I'm going to go Pritchard and Tatum.
Incorrect. Pritchard is one of them.
Pritchard and Brown.
The other one was drafted a couple of years ago, not Brown.
Sorry.
Their name has come up in a few answers, incorrect answers. So it's Pritchard and someone who had a haircut who isn't Jaylen Brown, who went from a similar dimension down. Trying to throw out some hints here. Jackson.
Yeah, for Jackson.
The haircut threw me. It wouldn't be Carson Edwards, would it?
No. Oh, wow. Holy shit. There's been a lot of haircuts on the Celtics. All right. Well, we've got to give the points to someone here. So it was Peyton Pritchard and this person
this
played
ridiculous.
Joe.
I'm going to go Simi.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
All right. That is 5-2 Joe. All right. Number four. Jaylen Brown was rated a 5-star recruit and ranked by Scout, ESPN, and 24/7 Sports as the 4th best recruit in his class behind Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram, and who? Was
it? Looks like all of us.
The obvious answer would be Chris Dunn.
No, that is one of the options. So I won't rule out that one. I won't read out that one. But the other options were Jamal Murray, Scal Labissiere, or Dragan Bender.
Scal Labissiere was a huge recruit that year.
You are correct. Very quick bonus question. This is worth 2 points. What is Jaylen Brown's middle name? I've got a hint prepared if no one has an answer.
Hint me, please.
Okay. It is the first name of one of the nemesis characters in Pulp Fiction. Maybe the nemesis, the bad guy.
He looks like all of
us. Marcellus?
Correct. Correct. Shit, really? All right. There you go. There's a bonus question. 2 points. You're now only down by two. Yeah. Amazing.
Wow. Fantastic.
Great combined Celtics and Pulp Fiction knowledge there. That's exactly what we're about here on the Celtics Reddit podcast. Quick show.
My Venn diagram. That's my crossover.
That's right. All right. Question number five of the current roster round. Jason Tatum was one of several athletes featured on a packet of Ruffles chips this year. What flavor of chip was Tatum the packet athlete for? The options are salt and vinegar, sour cream and onion, honey soy chicken, or flamin' hot barbecue.
I feel sorry for you that you don't get to answer this question because I know you got sent some.
Yeah, shout out to La Bird for sending
the artist formerly known as La Bird.
Maybe the only pack of said chips in this country, and I was looking at them today as part of the inspiration for this part of the quiz.
This is ridiculous,
Joe.
I don't know, but I'm going Flamin' Hot Barbecue.
You are correct, sir.
I feel like anyone who listens is going to be maddest at us for not knowing that one than anything else so far. it was very topical for a while.
Do they even have salt and vinegar chips in the States? It's sort of like, I guess they probably do, but it also feels like a bit of an Antipodean or like an English culture thing. You know, like vinegar on your fish and chips or something like that.
Yeah, I have no idea. I haven't seen them in the wild in the States. Nor have I seen sour cream and onion. Yeah, let us know. We're dying to know down here. All right, so coming out of round two, three rounds to go. Joe is up 7-4. So pretty close game here. Anything could still happen. We're going into round three. This is coach trivia. Going in with question one. Who is the only NBA head coach to beat Red Auerbach in an NBA Finals series while Red coached the Celtics? This is probably the hardest question in the whole quiz. Three options. Alex Hannum, 1958, St. Louis Hawks. Fred Schaus, 1960, Los Angeles Lakers. Or Jack McMahon, 1962, Chicago Zephyrs.
Well, I know it's going to be... It's going to be... Sorry. We lost the finals against St. Louis, yeah. So there would have to be Alex Hannum.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's Alex Hannum. All right, another point to Joe. So just some quick trivia there on Jack McMahon of the Chicago Zephyrs. He was actually fired partway through the season after starting with a 12-26 record, and he was succeeded by Bobby Leonard, who then went 13-29. So if you're wondering, you know, why you haven't heard of the Chicago Zephyrs, that's partially the reason why. I think
half these names were made up. It's just showing my lack of historical
Lakers
knowledge.
In particular are completely made up. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Number two of Coach Trivia round three. Most fans are pretty comfortable with their knowledge of the Celtics' recent coaching history. Ime Udoka, Brad Stevens, Doc Rivers, Rick Pitino came on the scene in the late 90s, and of course Red Auerbach held the position from 1950 to 1966. Outside of those guys, things get a little blurry. There were two coaches between the Rick Pitino and Doc Rivers tenures. One was John Carroll in 2004 only. The other was...
This is ridiculous!
Jim O'Brien.
Correct. Correct. All right, Joe's starting to streak a little little ahead here, Jackson.
He's going all Brooklyn Nets on me. Yeah.
He is. Yeah. You're off to a good start. Things were looking hot in the first
quarter. Hey, Brooklyn Nets, you saw it happen. I might pull a hemi. Come up lame. I mean,
Jim O'Brien, I didn't know much about him, to be honest, because, you know, it wasn't really in the league pass era. He coached from 01 to 04 with a 139 to 119 record. During the 03-04 season, O'Brien consistently fought with Celtics general manager Danny Ainge over short-term versus long-term goals. And Danny Ainge was looking to completely redo the roster and traded Eric Williams and Tony Batty, two of O'Brien's favorite hardworking players, in December of 03. And as a result of the conflict, O'Brien shocked everyone in the Celtics community and just flat out resigned. In January 04.
I think that was a Ricky Davis trade. He traded Kedrick Brown was in that trade as well for Ricky Davis, who we really rehabbed nicely. Ricky Davis was quite good for us, I thought.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of the more standout players of that era, of which I guess there were few. But he's a name that comes up consistently. All right, number three. In terms of overall win percentage, who was the Celtics' least successful coach?
This is ridiculous.
Joe.
MLK.
Correct. Correct. Sorry, Jackson. We're going to lay one up for you.
Don't be sorry.
MLK, he went 48 and 116 between the 95 and 97 seasons for just a 0.263 winning percentage. Bonus question, worth 2 points. Who was the official team captain of the 96 team coached by MLK?
This is ridiculous.
Joe.
Okay, I'm just going to run through the options that I've got in my head. I've got David Wesley, like D. Brown, and Rick Fox. I'm going to go with Rick Fox.
You are correct. Two additional points for Joe. We're still at a point where Jackson could come back. We've got that Phil Pressey speed round coming up. But Joe, you're proving you've got the knowledge here. Absolutely was Rick Fox as the official team captain in 96 there.
Then he left and signed with the Lakers.
He did, bastard.
Yeah.
Question four. Only three Celtics coaches have ever won Coach of the Year. One of them was Red Auerbach. Name one of the other two.
Looks like all of us.
Jackson.
Surely Tommy Heinsohn.
Correct. Finally. You are correct, sir. Yeah,
I was going to go after a point of clarification. Was it as Celtics because Doc Rivers,
yes.
I'm pretty sure, won in 99-2000.
The worthy ask for clarification there, but yes, as Celtics.
No, Jackson was quicker on the buzzer. Yep.
So Tom Heinsohn, any idea who the other one was? This isn't a bonus question. I'm just curious. I hadn't heard of him before doing these questions.
Other Celtics coaches?
Yep. One more.
Oh, man, not more. Like maybe Casey Jones.
Casey
would
be,
like,
I would guess I'd have, but.
Yeah, no, it was Bill Fitch.
Oh, okay.
From back in the day.
Yeah, 81.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there
you
go.
Yeah.
All right, so coming out of round three there, we've got Joe on 12. We've got Jackson on 5. Finishing strong there. Round number four. all based around jersey numbers, the history of jersey numbers for the Celtics.
Oh, all right. I feel like I can pull this back here. We'll see.
All right. Question one. What four players have donned the jersey 99 for the Boston Celtics? Quickly, if you can name all four, 2 points. Two or more gives you 1 point. Jackson, you buzzed in first there.
Jay Crowder and Taco Fall are two of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm blanking out though. No, those are the only two that came to mind.
It's two more. One person I know of, the other person I had never heard of before. So, Joe, if you can get the other two, I'll award you a point.
Amir Johnson was in the 90s, but I think he was just number 90.
I think he was 90, yeah.
Yeah, man, I got no idea.
So one of them was drafted quite early in, I believe, the 2003 draft.
Early in the 2003 draft?
Yeah.
There's a guy called Brandon Hunter who was drafted in 03. We drafted Kedrick Brown. In 03, we drafted Marcus Banks and Kendrick Perkins.
And he wasn't drafted by the Celtics. Drafted by another Eastern Conference team.
Not like Darius Songaila or something like that?
No. Okay, so... Darko? All right. It was Darko. Hey, yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I don't think anyone's going to get the four, so we'll give Jackson that 1 point. Sorry.
Darko Milicic, really?
Yeah.
He went 99 for us.
99 for the Celtics.
When you said early in the 2003, I'm like, who was it other than the famous ones? I was like, well, it was him. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. The non-famous one. Number two in the draft there. Yeah. Apparently claims he was better than LeBron James. The other one was Roy Rogers, who I'm not particularly familiar with, but wore 99 for the Celtics. All right, point to you there, Jackson. You're now on 6 points. Joe's 12. Number two, Jason Tatum and Avery Bradley are two recent Celtics players to proudly wear the jersey number 0, but the number 00 was retired to honor which player?
This is ridiculous.
Robert Parrish.
Correct. Yes, the Chief. All right. Okay, moving on. Number three, this is a who am I for two people, so it's a who are we. We both played for a current finals team and a franchise that has since relocated prior to playing for the Celtics, never as teammates. We both won championships for the same team the season after leaving the Celtics, again, not as teammates. We both won gold at the 2000 Olympics as teammates. We both wore the same number on the Celtics, and we both rocked bald heads for most of our careers. Who are we? We both played for a current
There's
finals
a lot
team.
Of clues there.
Yeah. So they both played for one of the teams currently in the finals and a franchise that has since relocated. Never as teammates. Both won championships.
And they're both on teams that are in the finals like right now.
They both played for a team that is currently in the finals.
Oh, right, they played
different...
for a team. That's it.
Yes. Yeah. Both rocked bald heads. They played in the 2000 Olympics as teammates.
Well, can you run through those clues again, man? There's a lot
going on there. Yep. So we both played for a current finals team. We also played for a franchise that has since relocated prior to playing for the Celtics, never as teammates. We both won championships for the same franchise the season after leaving the Celtics, again at different times, so not as teammates. We both won gold medals at the 2000 Olympics as teammates. We both wore the same number for the Celtics.
Gary Payton's one. Gary Payton's definitely one of them. He was on the Olympics, he played for the Bucks, and he won with the Heat. Mm-hmm. The season after leaving.
So who else played for the Bucks, was bald, and won a title with the Heat after the Celtics?
Ray Allen.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
There you go. That was a Reddit question. Thanks to that that Reddit user for that one. Okay, good work. Moving on. What is the highest retired number, and who is it retired in honor of?
It looks like all of Australia.
Jackson.
It's 35, but I don't know. I'm going to show my real lack of knowledge here.
I can tell you the person.
Yeah, I think it's I'm 35, but I don't know who
it is. 35.
I don't know.
The name starts with
Sam Jones.
If he doesn't get it,
Lewis.
Reggie Lewis. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, Joe, if you're okay with this, I'm going to give Jackson a point because he did get the number.
Yeah,
the question was what was the highest
number? I didn't know the number.
Thank you.
Right. I didn't know the number.
Okay. Cool. All right. That is the end of the jersey numbers round. So we're moving on to number five. For round number five, this is the final round. This is the Phil Pressey speed round. We're going to run through these questions really quickly. Every answer is worth 2 points. If there's one thing that's going to slow down this speed round, it's going to be me tallying up the scores. Yeah. If no one gets the answer, then we move on to the next question. Question number one. Who is the Celtics' all-time points leader?
This is ridiculous.
Jackson. Joe. Sorry, Joe.
I think Paul Pierce is it.
Incorrect. Jackson.
Bill Russell.
Similar era, a little after Bill Russell. Anyone can jump in
Tommy
now.
Hansen.
This is ridiculous.
Joe.
I'm going to go Havlicek.
It was Havlicek. It was Havlicek. Okay, number two. Who was the first Celtic to win the Sixth Man of the Year award?
This is ridiculous.
Joe.
I mean, I feel like it's got to be Havlicek, but it was named after him, so like Havlicek's my guess.
It was not. Incorrect. Okay, let's move on. It was Kevin McHale, by the way. Number three. After a blowout victory in a Celtics game, what time is it?
This is ridiculous.
Joe.
Give it to him. Give it to him.
Joe just came through a little sooner.
I did, yeah. I have a habit of doing that, my bad.
All right.
He called it.
All right, okay. Jackson, it is. Which of these Celtics players was not included in the KG deal? Gerald Green, Scott Pollard, Theo Ratliff, or Sebastian Telfair?
This is ridiculous.
Scott Pollard, we signed him up.
Correct. Amazing. Number five. Which Celtics players won NBA Eastern Conference Player of the Week in December 2nd to 8th, 2013?
Looks like all of
Jackson.
Australia.
Jordan Crawford.
Correct.
Yes.
I may have put that one in there for you, mate.
Nice little nugget for me. Thank you.
Number six. What does Jaylen Brown's Twitter handle and overall philosophy?
This is ridiculous. Flipper.
Stand for Joe.
Faith, consistency, and hard work pay off.
Correct. Number seven. What Croatian-born player was arguably the C's best player in the 96-97 season,
this is
averaging
ridiculous.
Joe?
Danny Roger.
Correct. Number eight. Who was the most recent Celtics team captain, officially?
Officially.
It looks like all of us.
Jackson.
Was it Kyrie?
No, a little before.
Before that.
Maybe like 8 years before.
Man, I don't know that, like, they don't tell you these things anymore. It's really annoying.
It's on Wikipedia.
If it was like 8 years before, like the 09, which would be like Garnett and Pierce, I guess.
Okay, no points awarded. It was Rajon Rondo, the first. He came back from that injury
that
after
sense.
Brad Stevens started coaching, and they made him the team captain and then probably traded him away. Number nine. In the first round of the 1986 playoffs, Michael Jordan of the Chicago Bulls scored 49 points in Game 1 and a record 63 in Game 2. A reporter said that at that pace, he would score 77 in Game 3. What did Larry Bird say he would do if Jordan did indeed score 77 points? Anyone? It's
no
obvious
idea,
if you think about it. What did Larry Bird do?
Jackson scores 78?
No, maybe it's not as obvious as I think.
No, I was going to say, I've got no idea. The quote I remember is, as he said, I think it's God disguises Michael Jordan or something like that. That's the Larry Bird quote you remember.
That's the one I remember as well. But in this case, Larry Bird said that if MJ scored 77, he was going to retire. Number 10. How many titles have the Los Angeles Lakers won?
Looks like all of us.
Jackson.
12.
Correct. You are absolutely correct.
Correct.
They have only won
correct.
12 titles for his 10th point there. Ultimately, final tally. Jackson coming up a little bit short there. Joe, 5, 10, 15, 18 points to Jackson's 10. Joe, you will be. I can look how happy he is there. I can see how stoked he is to be going through to the finals to play the winner of our Northern Conference battle there. Guys, thoughts on that one? A little bit different from the round a year ago, right? The questions are maybe a little bit more difficult.
I love some of those questions. I had no idea what they were, but I really enjoyed being asked them.
No, there's some good ones. There's some real good ones in there. Yeah.
Well,
real goodies. Stuff I just, you know, like, you should know. You know, like the Rondo is captain question. I feel like I should probably know that. But it's all starting to get a bit blurry. You know, I've been following this team for a really long time.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think if I was asked those questions, I wouldn't be able to answer the majority of them. So good on you guys for both. Like, you both were in double digits there, so you both did particularly well. Obviously, showing your Celtics acumen and putting your qualifications for being on this podcast on display. So if anyone's listening was in any doubt as to just the overall knowledge and skill set of Jackson and Joe, you know, sleep easy, my friends, I guess. Before we wrap this one up, guys, you know, it's our first time on the pod in a couple of weeks. Is there anything on your mind? Going a little off track here, but anything you want to talk about as far as any Celtics business that's popped up? Nothing really in particular has come up, so I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say.
Just real quick, I honestly thought the Phil Pressey speed round was going to be all questions about Phil Pressey.
It was a real curveball, wasn't it?
I did. Like, I took 30 seconds to look at his Wikipedia and be like, oh, I'm covered. Average 2.9 points. I've been loving the playoffs. And it's really pleasant not, like, stressing and needing to, like, you know, go and chew my fingernails off during work as well, too. It's nice just to kind of enjoy them as a neutral. I absolutely love that Bucks-Nets series. And I'm really impressed with Phoenix, and I hope they win. That's my opinion on the finals anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find you have to, like you don't know who you're actually going for until you're in the middle of the game, and you actually find yourself being like, oh, no, come on. Team A or come on Team B. That's how I discovered I was going for Milwaukee. Like, I wasn't really sure until I was in the game and I was like, oh yeah, I actually want Milwaukee to win this. Yeah.
And is that set in stone, or like based on what you said, or you sound like maybe you're open to flipping again?
I'm definitely open to flipping. I can definitely be tuned.
That's awesome. Yeah, I feel exactly the same. Like, I was cheering for the Bucks, basically in the little fourth quarter run they went on to sort of make it a game.
Get down about seven.
Yeah, and like this, all of the narratives are so unoffensive. Like, either team winning is kind of cool, and there's a nice little narrative to go with either one. Mm. I guess maybe I'm going for Chris Paul because his window of opportunity is obviously much narrower, given that he's 36 and Giannis is 25 or whatever.
Yeah. There's no villain, is there? There's no like one you can really like be like, man, fuck this guy. I don't want him to win. But they're trying. I guess like you're trying to make it out like it's Giannis because he takes ages to shoot a free throw. But it's just not. It's just not the case, is it? I'm all for the Suns because I want the full fledged Abdul Nader revenge tour of Celtics Reddit. I think it'll be beautiful.
Yeah, legit had no idea he was in the league till I saw him. Yeah. Like in the finals, I was like, what?
Yeah, he's going to win a title before the Jays. It's devastating. Jay Crowder as well is right in there as an ex-Celtic.
It's either going to be Jay Crowder or Abdul Nader or Jeff Teague. Yeah. You said at the start.
Oh, I felt so vindicated.
On our team. Yeah. Wouldn't have said Jeff Teague.
I felt so vindicated when Jeff Teague had that, like, I don't remember. He had a three and then he had this awful turnover. And I was like, yes. I knew he wasn't good.
He lulls you in with the threes. He's pretty reliable, but then he just does like some boneheaded shit right after, like all the time.
The 2 feet on the ground, 3-pointers that seem to always go in somehow. Yeah. But anyway, all right. Well, look, Joe, you are going through to the next round. You will be playing the winner of either Celtics J or Wayne Spoonie, the winner of our Northern Conference matchup. In the meantime, that's going to do it for this one. Thanks again to the people of Celtics Reddit for your ideas and suggestions. It will be Joe, like I said, going through to the next round, the Northern Conference battle, which is upon us. It's coming up early next week. Jackson and Joe, well done, sirs. Love your work, guys. Thanks again.
Likewise. Congratulations, Joe.
Thanks, Jackson. Worthy opponent. Hey, speaking of Wayne Spoonie, have you guys seen a picture of Wayne Rooney recently?
No.
Obviously.
Holy heck. I mean, that guy was born old, but man, he looks really old. He's like our age.
That's what Googling that's Wayne Rooney's. Yeah. Whoa. Oh, my God.
That's what a Nuggets and Chips diet will do to you throughout your entire life. He's a year younger than Cristiano Ronaldo. Look at the two of them like next to each other.
I know, that's joke. Nuts.
Joke.
I think he likes a drink and a dart by the look on his face.
and elderly women of the evening. Let's just put it that way.
He looks like his FIFA character did on Nintendo Wii in 2008 now. That's what he looks like.
Well, he's battling, eh?
Yeah. Anyway, the plugs are staying in, so all right, folks. Until next time, go Celtics. Peace.
Come on home, Wayne Rooney.